You're listening to Face Off, episode 73, recorded June 11th, 2010. Welcome to Face Off, your face-to-face web technology podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Jade Robbins.
And I'm Mark Sanborn.
And in this podcast, we talk about various aspects of web technology, such as web development, social media, and web entrepreneurship. As always, you can view our show notes for this episode by going to faceoffshow.com. All right, let's get into our news and follow-ups again today. As you can tell, I have to start putting stuff on my walls because we have a wicked echo in here. I can tell.
I can't tell. I must not have the ears for it or something.
Yeah, I can hear it. It's just a little bit, but that's okay. I'm going to start putting stuff up in my house. Anyways, week three in my new apartment, so things are coming along nicely. But the one news and follow-ups I did want to talk to you guys is that this past 2 weeks, we had a goof-up with our RSS feed in Face-Off. So if you were using a podcatcher, you probably didn't get the new episodes until just a couple days ago. So if you're listening to this one now and you're wondering why there was two episodes missing, they are in the RSS feed now. So if you go into iTunes or whatever you use to listen to your podcast, go ahead and give those a listen. We had a really good one on podcasting, and I can't remember what the other one was about, but make sure you go and grab those because they are there, and they're pretty good episodes. I liked them.
Yeah, you know, you didn't have internet, so we had to change up our process of doing posts a little bit, and something just got messed up. So
yeah,
so but we figured out what happened, and we won't do that in the future.
It's all fixed. We promise. So go check them out. Let's get into our geek tool of the week. So recently, I got some new glasses, prescription glasses and prescription sunglasses. And for both of my frames, I got Oakley frames, actually. And one thing that came with them, which... Let me find it here. That I really enjoy is it comes with these little microfiber bags. And the cool part about it is it's a bag, so you can put stuff in it, like your glasses is what it was designed for. But it's also microfiber, so you can use it to clean your screen. So what I did is I looked on the internet, and you can find these, you know, like at Amazon. We have a link to some in the show notes. You can buy them like bulk from China and stuff. I really like them because I like to put things in little bags like my cell phone or my iPod Touch. And then the best part is it is microfiber, so you can use it to clean off your fingerprints and stuff like that really easily. So
so much for turning that off.
God, that's two episodes in a row now.
I swear, it was like 2 minutes ago. It's like, I'm shutting my phone off.
I did. I lied. I'm sorry. Always remember. So one of the lessons we did learn in our last podcast about podcasting is to remember to shut your phone off when you're recording, because you'll have it in your pocket. And, you know, it's Murphy's Law where, you know, if it can go wrong, it will happen. You will get a text message or something. Or if you have like a droid like we do, you get 1,000 emails a day. And so your phone will go off. It will happen. But for your phone, if you have a nice phone like a droid or something like that, I like these microfiber bags. I'm going to buy a couple of like... I noticed, you know, pockets really are dirty. They have a lot of lint, a lot of nasty stuff. And that's one of the cool parts about microfiber is it doesn't really make lint. It is like I read online, it's like microfiber, the reason people like it for wiping up stuff is because cotton apparently can't grab the gunk. It just sort of smears it, whereas somehow the microfiber is able to. I don't know. Huh. We should link to the Wikipedia article on it.
You know what? The thing I noticed with my droid is, like you said, pocket lint. Sometimes it'll get underneath the screen eventually.
Yeah.
If you put the droid in your pocket long enough, you'll start seeing little fibers underneath the glass screen that you can't get out.
Yeah, or it'll start mashing into like the little speaker hole for your ear. Yeah, yeah. And so I'm going to buy some of these, and I'm going to put like, you know, like when you put things in your pockets, even if you have really nice pants, the odds are there'll be some lint and stuff that will gather in there. So I like these. And then, you know, I am obsessive about, I hate fingerprints on my stuff. It drives me insane. I'm constantly rubbing my phone like on my shirt to try and get them off. Which, you know, another nice thing about microfiber is, you know, it won't scratch things. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you keep that with you, you can pull your device out and, you know, wipe your fingerprints off and put it back in. Plus, you just, I love little baggies. I like to organize things in little baggies. So, check them out. You can get microfiber little pouch baggies on the internet. We have a link to some from Amazon in the show notes. I think they're really cool, and I like them a lot.
All right.
So, let's get into our first Let's go into the web apps. Our first web app this week is called ChatRide. And, you know, we do a lot of, you and I do a lot of video chat over Skype, which is great. Skype, I think, works great. It's got great audio quality, really good video quality. But sometimes, you know, you don't, the thing is you have to install Skype and then you have to, like, you know, add the friend. And what ChatRide does is, like, if you're just, you just need to do a quick webcam video chat with someone, you go to chatride.com, you start a new one, it gives you a link. You go, you send that link to your friend, and as soon as your friend opens that link, it will connect, you know, just sort of one-on-one video and audio chat via Flash. So, you know, you don't have to have Skype installed. You can do it on, you know, any computer that has, you know, it works even, you know, you can, you have a camera and microphone work in Linux. You can use it with Flash, which is, you know, they have Skype on Linux, but sometimes, you know, if you just need to do a quick video chat with someone, you don't want to have to add Skype, you don't have to do Google Talk, you just can send them this link and get it done.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's great. We tested this out, and it worked great on my laptop and your computer. And
yeah, I mean, it's clearly not the video and audio quality of Skype, but it's an easy way to do just peer-to-peer audio and video chat with just a link.
Yeah, and sometimes people don't have Skype, you know, if you want to do some talk to your grandma or something real quick. And
where I work, Skype is blocked.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they have a network impact problem with it, so... like when I'm, you know, working with my coworker, if we don't want to, which I think the Google Video only works in Windows and Mac.
Oh.
Google Chat if you do in Gmail. So this is a way to do it and just take care of it.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's a really cool web app. The next one that we want to talk about is called Randomized List. It's at randomizedlist.com. It's really simple. Anytime, you know, sometimes you have a list of something and you just want to randomize it really quick. I know as programmers, pretty much any of us think that that's like something stupid because we could write and do it in 2 seconds, but it'll actually take you more than 2 seconds. It usually take you at least like 5 to 10 minutes. And you just go to this website, you type in or copy and paste a list, and it just separates it by, you know, enters, and then you hit randomize, and it'll just randomize that list for you.
That's cool.
So yeah, if you're like, you know, oh, whose turn is it next? I don't know. Let's just, you know, put all the names of your friends in, randomize list in there. You know, you have like an order of who gets to do what. I can think of lots of times where... Even I just needed a random number, so I just went in there and I typed, you know, 1 through 9 and hit randomize list and took the first one, and there's, you know, there's the random one out of the list.
Cool. So you just copy and paste in there and hit submit?
Yeah, you can copy and paste. It's separated by enters, so or by, oh, you know, okay. What do we call them?
Carriage returns.
So if you have, you know, you would do like Jade, enter, Mark, enter.
Cool.
And then hit randomize, and they'll randomize a list for you. Really simple, and again, you know, I know most people are saying, I could program that in 2 seconds. You could, but this is already done, and if you, you know, have it tucked away in your memory, next time you need a randomized list, you can do it really quickly, really fast.
Cool.
I want to remind you guys, if you have some news, a follow-up, or a web application you think we should look at, let us know by going to faceoffshow.com/feedback. We'd love to hear what you guys have for us, and we'd love to talk about what you guys suggest for us to do.
Yep.
Let's get into our topic this week. So you and I are working on a project right now, and this project recently sort of required us to think of how do we, if we want people to pay for something, how do we do it? So you were looking through, and so our topic this week is how to accept money online.
Yeah, I've done this for a few of my projects and in a few things I've worked on, so... I've kind of used a lot of the different things we'll talk about. But yeah, today's topic is just, you know, getting money online via, you know, credit card or through a PayPal or something right. Like that. Any way that you possibly get which money.
For a lot of people, it tends to be kind of the end goal, hopefully, right?
Right. So the first category of kind of ways to get stuff online is this third party, do everything for you. Merchant gateway payment system. This is like PayPal and Google Checkout.
Right.
And so with Google, so with these, they handle everything. You sign up, it's free. There's no monthly charge or anything. You just pay a per transaction charge and the money just shows up in your account.
Right.
Some advantages of like for Google Checkout specific, like if you use AdWords, you get, in your search terms or whatever, you actually, when somebody pulls up a search via Google, they'll see like a Google Checkout button and they advertise anyways that people are 40% more likely to click on your ad if you have that button. So there's one advantage of using like Google Checkout over, let's say, PayPal. A lot of these types of services, Google Checkout included, have like one page checkouts. If you do any research on e-commerce stuff, the one-page checkout is one of the highest things you can do for to increasing your conversion rate. Because, you know, oftentimes if you have multiple screens where they have to like enter your username, now enter your password, now enter your ship to address. You know, people sometimes might hit the back button or something and then get frustrated because it says, do you want to submit post parameters again?
Well, that sort of is the benefit of these services, right? Is if people have used them, they are sort of ubiquitous with the internet. You know, I've used Google Checkout. I've used PayPal. I know PayPal has my information. So oftentimes I don't even have to insert my credit card again because I just log in with my PayPal information. It's linked to my bank account and I hit pay and it's really easy. It's true, the more screens you have, the more someone might say, nah, this isn't worth the effort.
And we talked about web, like evidence-based web design, you know, where Google will test 30 different shades of blue before they find out which blue has the highest conversion rate and everything. When you're using their checkout system, they've already done that work for you. They have millions of people checking out through Google Checkout every day. So you know, it's optimized. There's no, you know, gotchas where it throws you out of the cart or any of that kind of stuff. It's very optimized to conversion, like make the sale.
Well, and the other thing too is we don't think about this a lot, but anytime someone is taking care of payments themselves, they really are taking care of it themselves, and you don't really know what they're doing. When I used to do professional sort of web work in the past, we would redo people's websites, and oftentimes we would find that people had programmed in the past that when they accept credit cards, it put it in a text file in the middle of the web directory all kinds of insecure things. The best part about using Google Checkout or PayPal is that I know that this merchant is not getting my credit card information, they're not getting my bank information, they're just talking to PayPal, and PayPal says, yes, this person has paid for it, go ahead. And that's good peace of mind when you think about it, because how many times have you put your credit card information in a website? You don't know what they're doing with it.
Yeah. So like you said, you know, fraud protection, this stuff where, well, you're thinking on the consumer side where like, I don't know about this website. I don't know if they're going to store my credit card, they're going to sell it to somebody else. You have no idea with PayPal and Google Checkout kind of services. Some of that's, you know, mitigated. You know, you're putting that data to those companies instead. They also have the advantage of, especially for like Google Checkout, they have the advantage that they, for their fraud protection, they go further than just checking the credit history of the credit card and all that stuff and verifying the number on the back of the card. They actually will look at your account age. So you to check out through Google Checkout, you have to actually have a Google account. And if your account age is only like 2 days old, they might ask for more information about you.
They might flag you, yeah.
So they have a little bit more advantage that way.
But there are disadvantages to the system.
Yeah, I can just jump to PayPal real quick. PayPal is kind of notorious for if you and they're so big too. If you go search online, you will see people that have had problems with PayPal either locking up their money and they can't get to it. So that leads us to the first disadvantage of using a payment system like this with the Google Checkout, PayPal, all in one kind of deals, is they control the money. Everything comes into them, and you have to sign an agreement to even use these services.
Yeah.
And so they can withhold money and they can do a lot of things like that.
And PayPal is very sort of consumer centric. Like they want to protect the consumer as much as possible. So oftentimes, you know, someone might pay for something, and if they sort of, you know, refute that charge, usually it errs towards the customer.
PayPal is definitely customer oriented. And that's one of the reasons people actually have no fear when they see a PayPal button. A lot of people are like, "Oh, I no problem."
Yeah, they got my back, right?
Because PayPal is like 100% money back guarantee, up to like 6 weeks or something. Like they will just give your money back right away with no questions. It's up to the merchant then to rectify the situation. PayPal's not going to favor in the merchant, and that's where if you do a search for PayPal and stuff, you will see a lot of people that have had problems with that, but it's a pro and con. Like there's some
it's easy. I don't have to do. I mean, it's really, I just ask PayPal if they've paid, and then I know I've gotten my money, and it's really easy to integrate. I don't have to do any of the really credit card stuff or anything. It's just the money is in my PayPal account. But the disadvantage is that the money is in my PayPal account, and PayPal is in charge of that. So they also oftentimes, they say they have the right to freeze your funds, freeze your account completely because there's some shady stuff going on. I know there was like a forum I went to where They did all of sort of their banner advertisements through PayPal, and then like something happened with there was sort of an investigation towards the site, which was sort of unfounded, mm-hmm. but the account was totally frozen, and it took like I think 3 or 4 years before they could unfreeze those monies.
Wow. Yeah, so they're, I mean, but the advantage you get is people absolutely will trust your site when they check out. Most yeah, people
exactly.
that recognize PayPal, which is pretty big.
And it's like, super easy for them, super easy for you. You know, like I said, it's my bank account information is linked to PayPal forever. I use the key fob, so I have multi-factor authentication, so I know that, you know, it takes a lot to get money out of my PayPal account. You know, I feel very good about my PayPal account.
So the three major ones in this category is Google Checkout, PayPal, and Amazon Flexible Payment System, which is in order of popularity would be PayPal, Google Checkout, and then Amazon. They're all about the same rate. It's 2.9% per transaction plus 30 cents.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is some different plans. Like PayPal offers a lot of different plans. One of the plans, if you do micropayments, so if you're accepting stuff that for like a dollar mm-hmm. and things, you won't get that 30 cent. Transaction charge. They offer a different service for people that are doing micropayments.
Excellent.
So one of the advantages of Google Checkout over PayPal is it's a lot easier to hook into Google Analytics because it is a Google software.
Do your evidence-based web design using analytics and what do you call them? Conversion point?
Yep. And the other disadvantage of all three of these is you have to send the customer off to their website.
Right.
And they will check out on their... It's kind of a pro and con, though. Like, so Google Checkout has optimized their cart, their checkout system, so you're not having to make your own and do all your own research and work mm-hmm. on that. But they go to Google, and they're no longer on your site. They're seeing Google's logo instead of your logo. You're transferring yeah. them, and some people are uneasy about that. A lot of people on the PayPal side, a lot of people are used to it. They're like, oh, I don't mind checking out. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's worth noting that Amazon, Dell... Newegg, they all three of those huge online retailers use PayPal as well as other ones.
Mm-hmm.
So they give yeah. the consumer a choice.
Yeah, it really has gone up in the past year. I remember when I saw that Newegg had started accepting PayPal, I was like, wow, that's kind of a big step.
Yeah, and if I remember right, Dell doesn't even do their own... they have their own checkout with their credit card and everything, but if you click PayPal, it redirects the PayPal site.
Yeah.
So people... are kind of used to that, so it's not too big of a disadvantage.
Totally.
On the programmer standpoint, if you do redirect to their site, you might ask yourself, well, what if I'm doing like a subscription-based service and I need to call back to my program saying that they paid? Because mm-hmm. how else would you know they paid? Because it's not going through your site, it's going through their site. PayPal and Google Checkout, and I'm not sure on Amazon, but I would bet they have.
Yeah, I would assume.
I'm pretty sure they do. what does it stand for? It's PayPal IPN. It's something notification.
Okay.
But anyways, what they'll do is whenever a transaction's done and charged, they will send some information back to your site, which you can then deal with.
Mm.
So even though you are doing a redirect, you still have full control over whether or not the person paid. So your only disadvantage is it's doing a redirect onto the other site, and the other disadvantages that we talked about where they can freeze the money.
Right.
So that kind of wraps it up for the all-in-one,
right.
you know, encompassing merchant accounts.
Yeah.
They're definitely preferred if you're doing, let's say, less than $1,000 a month in sales. You're probably going to want to look at these because the next ones we're going to talk about have monthly charges, setup fees, and mm-hmm. some of the other things. So let's get into those. Payment gateways and merchant accounts.
Bum, bum, bum.
So I guess let's start off with a payment gateway. A payment gateway is, most people recognize it by, like, let's say, authorize.net. They're, mm-hmm. they're the largest. A payment gateway is in charge of verifying the credit card number and linking it up to a bank account
okay.
and verifying that there's funds there.
Okay.
That's their only job. Then you need a merchant account, which is basically a specialized bank account that is set up to receive money constantly.
Right.
So like, you know, a regular banking account or checking account, they're banking on the banking. they're counting on the fact that you're only going to make a few, you know, deposits and stuff per month. You're not going to make like $1,000 a day.
Transferring money takes time and costs money.
Right. So you need a special merchant account. The other thing is these accounts are to the bank's eyes, are risky. Right. This money is may or may not be what's called like settled funds. Mm-hmm. The person might not have even gotten their product yet, so they might need a refund. So it's in their eyes, it's kind of risky. There's also fraud things that can go on, and mm-hmm. that's why Google Analytics or Google Checkout and all these have these fraud protection. So with that in mind, where risk is involved, cost goes up. These accounts are more than just a regular checking account, which is oftentimes is free. Mm-hmm. These things come in a cost of maybe transaction fees, which are similar to Google Checkout and PayPal, mm-hmm. Setup fees, things like that. So the advantage of going this way is you have full control of everything.
Right.
You literally can have a form on your site that takes a credit card, sends it to authorize.net, let's say, and the money's deposited in your bank account.
Right.
Like immediately.
Yeah. They don't go anywhere else. This is your website, your programming. You did it.
Right. Your money. It goes directly to you. The other thing I should mention about the merchant accounts. So if you've ever had a dispute on your credit card and you say, I never got my product or whatever, I want this off my credit card.
Mm-hmm.
That the credit card company deals with the merchant account, and the merchant account is pretty much they do a few things, but they're almost always it's like the merchant account just give them back the money,
mm-hmm.
and then you are responsible with dealing with the merchant account, and that's why another reason you have to pay for a merchant account,
right.
and that's where they get their money. So you can think of like the payment gateways as an intermediary that's verifying the credit card and charging it. We kind of talked about that. So the thing about this, I don't know what it is about the industry. It's kind of like, I don't know, auto insurance or, you know, I don't know, some of those goofy things where it's very tricky to compare, your actual rates. It's not a bottom line thing. You know, one company might not have any setup fees, but their transaction fees are high. One of them might charge extra per transactions. One of them might, charge if you do over a certain amount of transactions in a month, they might charge you more. It's mm-hmm. it's a very tricky thing. There's a lot of I call them scams. They're not scams, but a lot of shady companies.
It seems shady. Yeah, exactly.
It's one of those things. If you do look into, you need to really make sure on the merchant account, shop around. I mean, you're prepared to spend at least a week probably surfing the net and checking out the different options.
It's something that just might be worth spending the extra money to get a really big name that's been in the game for a while.
Definitely. You might see a lot of this, free, no setup, none of this, and then you get a really high transaction fee or something. That's the disadvantage of going this route. It is very tricky to find a good one. There's just a ton of options out there. Mm-hmm. Google Checkout and PayPal, they're big names. This is the price. This is the transaction fee, which, by the way, is 2.9% plus 30 cents per transaction. And these merchant accounts and things, they are around that same amount because, you know, Google and PayPal have so many customers, they're allowed to lower their rates quite a bit.
And so it's nice. You don't get redirected anywhere. It's your own, but you do have to program it, right? That's, you need things. You have to make sure you do things like you follow best practices. Like if you're accepting credit card stuff, you need to have an SSL. You need to make sure that your servers are secure. You know, you need to make sure where you're storing things. If they're, you need to think about that stuff a lot more. It's not so easy as just like go to PayPal or Google Checkout. You know, it they know their best practices and they follow them pretty strictly for me. You need to make sure that you're implementing this correctly.
Exactly. You hit it right on there. You need an SSL for this because they're going to be submitting form data to your website. That needs to be encrypted because it's going to contain
credit card information. Just enough information to charge whatever they need to.
So you need to really make sure your site's secure. That's a kind of a disadvantage there. One thing to note on this is PayPal does have a gateway merchant system. They call it PayPal Payments Pro. So I think this is kind of the best of both worlds. Mm-hmm. People may not like PayPal for the reasons we've already discussed, but this is good because you can offer PayPal and do the credit card information right on your site. You do everything all with one company, you don't, you know.
Exactly.
It makes it easier to program.
You can do either or. You can say if you're, you know, if you like just regular PayPal, go ahead. But it, or if you want to do it with this way, go ahead this way.
Yeah, the other thing too is maybe you're a smaller site and you just start off with using PayPal only. Let's say they're, you know, the one we talked about, the all in one. And then, you know, you start doing more than $1,000 a month or so, and it starts making sense to go the other route. You can just upgrade and use this basically the same API calls, maybe change a few things.
Right.
And you're ready to go.
Totally.
So there's various programming tools to do a lot of this stuff.
Right. You just said this is so hard. I have to program it. How can I do that?
So, yeah, if you are going this route or even like we talked about the PayPal notification system. So like if somebody checks out and you want to like activate their account for like a subscription of a site or something. So the first one that I ever worked with was the PHP Google checkout, one, which we'll put in the show notes. It's really easy to use. A lot of these just, you put some information, you know, the product name and weight or whatever, and it generates an add to cart button or a checkout button. And Google checkout and both PayPal, if you put the weight of the product, they do offer shipping services as well. I know a lot of companies, because I have a product that does shipping, a lot of companies struggle with the shipping side of stuff. You know, they'll put like a flat rate or something like that.
Yeah.
So that's nice. You just put a weight and it says, oh, the cart's X amount of pounds, so it should be this weight for fed, for shipping. And you can specify which carriers you support and everything. And that can all be done in the PHP Google checkout thing. You just, it's pretty easy to use, object-oriented. Another one that I've used for authorized.net on a project I was working on, and I did a little bit on the project we were working on. I started doing it is for the Ruby world is ActiveMerchant. And this is an awesome gem. Like it supports a lot of different, so it supports authorized.net, like every different PayPal, every option for PayPal, Google checkout, I believe.
Pretty full-featured.
Full-featured, yeah.
Yeah, but look them up. I mean, there has to be more out there. I'm assuming each service would hopefully have either some integration or example or something like that.
Yeah, and PayPal has a PHP sample, like sample scripts there for you.
Cool.
And ASP.NET and Java, I think.
Cool.
So, yeah, and I tried to look for an ASP.NET e-commerce one, and I saw a couple of them, but I didn't see one that was like, this is the clear winner.
Yeah.
So if any of you ASP.NETers find an e-commerce system that you guys, you know, use, let us know in the comments.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you know if many with like shopping cart software that like people buy, like what's one of them, the big, you know, e-commerce website sort of package?
Authorized.net?
No, like software for having your own store.
Oh, like Magento.
Yeah, do they usually support like all the different gateways themselves, or is it kind of a generic system?
Yeah, ZenCart, OSCart, a lot of these actually do just have tie-ins to these. You just you select the merchant account or whatever, and when the person checks out of the cart, it does it. Yeah, huh. Definitely.
Cool. Well, that's good. All right. Well, that wraps it up for this episode of Face Off. I want to remind you guys that you can subscribe to the show by going to faceoffshow.com/subscribe. You can also leave feedback for the show by going to faceoffshow.com/feedback, which we love to hear from you guys. We've gotten a lot of really good topic ideas from you guys, so please keep them coming. We want to talk about what you guys want to talk about. I want to thank you guys for listening, and we will see you next week.